Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me. Last week we talked about being very angry with God for not saving our child and keeping them from dying. I ended by talking about the difference between a transactional relationship with God and an intimate one that has a trust factor even within the pain and confusion. Now, I said that this week I would tackle how to go from transactional to truly relational. So let's go ahead and dig into this. I want to share some things I recently heard from John Eldridge on this. I think one of the first things is to realize that our culture has trained us to expect immediate results. We can be very impatient when we get literally millions of results for something within seconds on the digital highway, and it spins for a few seconds if we're trying to get somewhere with it. Our spiritual forefathers and mothers would probably be shocked and hugely disappointed by this, because learning to linger in God's presence and how to literally wait on Him has been essential for spiritual formation for thousands of years, up until just a few short years ago. We think everything needs to happen fast now. In Psalm 27, we're told to be strong and to wait for the Lord. Now, some of you have heard me say this before, but when Dave and I were dating, he wanted to propose to me, but he kept hearing God tell him to wait. And when he looked up the meaning of wait, one of the spiritual meanings is a carved work. God was asking him to wait so that he could do a carved work in each of us before coming together as husband and wife. Isn't that beautiful? We tend to think God should answer us as quickly as the internet, which I think has greatly harmed our relationship with Him. How many relationships do you know that go deep within the first few minutes or even hours or days? It takes time and trust to open up to each other. We need to learn how to linger and to wait on God, wait for God. The internet, I think, has also eroded our ability to trust and to believe. When we think we have found the answer to something, new experts come out that contradict it. We have become very skeptical and we don't know what to believe. And then when you throw AI into the mix, it's even worse. You can make just about anything look real unless you take the time to study what you are seeing or do some research. And even then, what's real and what's not? What's real and what's fake? If we tell a child we're going to the zoo tomorrow, they get all excited. It's the adult response that asks, did you check the weather? Did you see they're starting construction and it might be hard to get there? Do you know if they raise the price? I know some of you are thinking those are just practical thoughts and being realistic, but the child just has both the anticipation of waiting to go plus the day they are there, double joy. They let the parents figure all that out, right? Well, we have a loving Father who wants to figure those things out for us sometimes too, and we can just go enjoy in anticipation of something He's giving us or something He wants to do for us. And we can just have that double joy of anticipation, knowing that our Father is taking care of those details. Children don't live from a place of skepticism or cynicism, the I'll believe it when I see the science behind it, guarded type of thoughts and attitudes. Remember what Jesus told His disciples? Unless you change, He said, and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, He did not say you won't enter heaven. He said you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. What's the difference? We're told in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about righteousness for a second, but think about this. The kingdom of heaven coming, becoming like a child, is coming into a place of peace. And becoming like a child with our Father God is coming into a place of joy. Now let's look at righteousness. Most of us have been told that righteousness is being right with God. And while that's true, we take it on as if being right with God is our responsibility, something we have to work hard and strive for. We forget that being right with God is a wonderful gift that has already been given to us. It's not something we earn. It is something we receive. And I'm just going to put in here that this is something God has really been stressing to me a lot in the last week or two. There are so many things that He has already given me as a gift, and I'm still trying to earn it. I'm still trying to figure out how to make it work in my life. But He keeps reminding me, no, this is a gift, and you open your hands and you surrender to receiving it. My job is to receive the gift. My job is not to be worthy enough to earn that gift. My job is to stop and to receive the gift that He's already trying to give me. Jesus wants to rescue us from these kinds of barriers that form in us by the time we reach adulthood. He tells us to believe in me and in Him who sent me. Many of us have become disciples of the internet instead of disciples of Jesus. Ouch. We turn to the internet for answers instead of the Spirit of God Himself who lives and dwells inside us. The first beatitude in Matthew 5 is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God." Being poor in spirit means that we admit how much we need Him to be everything for us, not as a tyrant or as a master-slave kind of relationship, but accepting His invitation, His gift of love that pushes out fear, it pushes out confusion that keeps us spinning, it pushes out anger and blame. Being poor in spirit is saying, God, I don't understand, and you knew how much pain this would cause for me, so much that I can't even breathe at times, but I open my hands and I give this pain to you. I still trust you. It's like surrendering in how poor we are to get through this, how we're surrendering to the fact that I need you, God. In a way where you can come in and comfort me and lift me up and encourage me and bring healing to the shattered heart. The second beatitude is to lament. And we know the Psalms are full of laments. Jesus showed us it's okay to weep and lament. In fact, the shortest and easiest verse in the Bible to memorize is John 11:35. Jesus wept. What a beautiful scripture to hang on to. Here's the thing. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They are not good guy, bad guy, good cop, bad cop. Jesus came to show us who the Father is and show us His heart. If Jesus is weeping, then God is weeping. If Jesus is showing compassion and care, He was doing it as the physical act in human form of what God was doing. Anytime you look at or read about Jesus, you are looking at and reading about God, our loving, kind, gift-giving God. Jesus came to serve us, and that means God wants to serve us. Now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? He wants to serve us in this part of life that involves pain and suffering. This world domain was turned over to Satan, God's enemy, and our enemy. We cannot avoid pain and suffering, and anyone who thinks they can be in control of life and avoid it is just plain delusional. So why? Why doesn't God just stop it all and not put us through this? Well, I kind of hate to say this, but as I started working on this question of why, I realized it needs to be its own podcast episode. And I pulled away from finishing this one to start working on it. I'm going to go back to the Beatitudes on this and talk about some other things. So that is going to be in a future episode. I will say, though, that pain and suffering is an invitation to transformation and to understanding God's goodness and His gifts that He wants us to receive from Him. Now, I know that seems crazy and the exact opposite of how we feel and even struggle to believe in our extreme pain. But if that's not the case, pain and suffering is just a wasted tragedy, and I know that you will not allow your child's death to become that. Years ago, believers used to wait on God and linger in His presence to have personal encounters with Him. Now, we tend to go to church to get a little blast of God, and then we go home and we don't interact with Him the rest of the week. We might read our Bibles, and yes, we might spend some time praying, but how often have you just sat with Him and allowed His presence to become so very real to you? Do you ask Him questions and then quiet your heart to allow Him time to answer? Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus. It wasn't someone showing him the latest research or taking him to a building with a Sunday morning service. Now, I'm not saying you can't encounter God in a church service, because I have many, many times over the years. But I believe most of the time, it was because I was also making time to encounter Him outside of the church service. So we need to ask ourselves, how one-sided is my relationship with God? Is it more transactional than relational? Have we spent enough time together as I linger in His presence and get to know Him on a personal level that makes me know that I can trust Him even when I don't understand Him? Do you want your child or children to be close enough to you that they trust you even when they don't understand you? We do, right? Most of us believe that we have built our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ because we are a good Christian. We go to church and we do all the things a Christian should do. But when the storm came, we found out we had built our lives on the shifting sand. Building on the rock means building an actual relationship that goes both directions. It isn't either one making demands or expectations on the other. It's getting to know God's heart more than just what feels like rules and a form of religion, which is what we do to get to God instead of allowing Him to reach down to us with all that He is. It's not bringing God down to our level as humans, but allowing Him to bring us up into the awe and wonder of who He really is and the incredible lengths He has gone to prove how deeply He loves us. Like I said last week, it's your choice to remain angry or to remain hating Him when you are months and especially years down the road. That would be continuing a transactional relationship. I did my part, but you did not do yours. The thing is, He very much did His part when He sent His Son to become human, live in this sinful and disease-ridden world, and then be tortured and die a horrific death, so that death here is not the end. He did His part to remove the barrier between us, and now it's our part to move toward the outstretched arms and the gift He is trying to give us of intimacy with God Himself. I think you can agree that relationships are the most important thing we can have here on this earth. We had one of the most intimate and important relationships removed from us temporarily, but the most important relationship we can ever have is still here for us and will never be removed from us. It's okay to be mad at God. It's okay to let Him have it. Just don't stay there. Choose to make the move from being in a transactional relationship with Him to one of intimacy. If you feel a bit lost on how to do that, I can share what I do personally that has helped me hear from Him. One thing is to learn to tap into the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to get into, does that mean I have to speak or pray in tongues? Now, I'm just going to say that no, it definitely does not mean that. Do I? Yes, but my dad and my sister never did. My mom doesn't. But their intimacy with God and hearing from Him is undeniable because they set aside time to be with Him and in His presence every day. Now, this is not for a theological debate. I was raised to believe tongues was only for the early church, and anyone who does that now is receiving it from the devil. As an adult, I don't see scripture to support that belief. I'm just letting you know that I personally live from a belief of wanting everything God has for me. And if it means an extra measure of the Holy Spirit to make life here easier to live out, then I want it. In John 20:22, we read that Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When we receive Jesus as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside us. Jesus said He had to leave so that the Comforter could be sent, the Helper could be sent and live in each one of us who has received Him. And if you have received Jesus, you absolutely have the very Spirit of God living in you that you can tap into. Now, I learned for me that often the easiest place to hear from God and where I get some of my deepest insights from Him is through writing. Now, this is writing in a journal. I know a lot of you say, I know people say to journal and I just can't journal, but hear me out here. I will write down a question that I'm asking God and then I wait. And when my thoughts start answering, and not in a way that's negative or degrading, those are my own thoughts, I start writing. I don't edit, I don't question it, I just write. And when I go back and read it, I am usually totally amazed because it is not something I would have come up with. And it's exactly, you know, it answers my question. And sometimes it even goes deeper and beyond the question that I asked. It's always very uplifting and encouraging. And even if it's something that's truthful, that's hard for me to hear, truth sets us free. And so just writing a question down and then allowing your thoughts, like I said, not negative thoughts, but when they turn from being negative and you just start thinking thoughts, just start writing them down and believe that it is God answering you because you've asked Him, right? And if you don't know, I don't know what to ask God. Well, I have three questions. Write these down. You can pause this and write this down. I actually do this a lot now. The first question, and I ask all three of these, okay? So question one is, what do you want me to know about you? And a lot of times I'll just get one word. The second question is, who do you want to be for me? And once again, most of the time I'll just get one word. And then the third question is, what do you want me to do with what you just shared with me? And that is usually when the writing will kind of take off. I might get a sentence or I might get two or three pages, but this will be a good springboard for you if you don't know even what to ask. Just ask Him these three questions and then sit in His presence and listen for the answers, and you will be amazed. Just yield to Him. And if you don't get anything, try again the next day. All right, just keep asking until you start hearing, because lingering and dwelling, that's the thing that I was talking about, wanting those instant answers, wanting those instant things, because it's been so ingrained into us that everything should be instant. But relationships, building relationships, is not something that is instant. I've discovered that God can speak some pretty powerful things to us when we don't let our minds get in the way. And so when we use this kind of a thing to write things down, to just begin to write whatever's there, it's like flipping the switch from our mind to our spirit. Our mind asks the question, but then our spirit begins to hear the answer when we just begin to write and just write whatever comes to you. And to me, this is one of the easiest ways I know to connect with Him, spirit to spirit. Now, another thing I do is I use my God-given gift of imagination, and I turn it over to the Holy Spirit living inside me. As children, we're imagining things all the time, right? Kids are constantly using their imagination. But eventually, we tend to grow up and we quit fantasizing those fun things. But we really don't stop using our imagination. I mean, we do imagine some fun things and some good things, but if you're like me, I tend to use my imagination a lot more often than I want to admit, picturing negative things. If I don't hear back soon enough from one of my kids, I start imagining all the bad reasons why. I can see something in the news and I can start imagining what it would be like if that negative thing happened to me, even feeling the emotions with it like it's really happening. I imagine all the things that would be hard for me to do if I became a widow. And sorry, Dave, but even imagining things like discovering he didn't wake up and died in his sleep, that hits hard. And it hasn't even happened, just thinking about it and using my imagination. I imagine the bad things people at work are saying about me and judging me about. I imagine seeing my friend upset and not calling me back because I had to cancel our last planned outing. I think you get the idea here. We still use our imagination. And if God created us with being able to imagine, we need to see and use it as the gift that it is. So, I like to use my imagination to become closer and more intimate with God and less transactional with Him. I'll use my imagination to picture myself in a beautiful place. And then I imagine or I picture Jesus coming to me in that place. And then I let the Holy Spirit who is in me just kind of take over. It's like starting in my mind as a springboard, just like the writing, and then allowing my spirit to connect to God's spirit to speak to me or to show me something He wants me to see or know. This is not woo-woo New Age stuff where I get some sort of unbiblical downloads. We do things like go on walks together as He speaks truth to me. We sit on benches as He lovingly puts His arms around me and lets me cry. We spin around and dance together in fields of flowers as He reminds me of Zephaniah 3:17 that He is singing and shouting for joy over me. We splash around in a pool of water under a waterfall as He does a needed cleansing in my soul. Our imagination can and should be surrendered to God. Especially when you find yourself using your imagination in a negative way. Just stop and say, God, I surrender my imagination to You. Let me think Your thoughts. Let me imagine Your gifts and good things to me. And it's a powerful way that we can hear from Him and draw close to Him in intimacy. There shouldn't be any fear in this if you have given your imagination and your thoughts to God. But if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. I believe, and I hope that you do too, that God's power is so much greater than the enemy's. And if we are in full surrender to the Holy Spirit, do we really think that He's going to pull back and allow the enemy to take His place? I really, really doubt it. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice and follow Me." This is something we learn to do, and it gets easier the more we lean in and practice. There are so many ways to do this, including ones I haven't talked about yet. I have a friend who does collages. She sits with the Holy Spirit, and then she starts drawing and cutting out pictures and words from magazines until a message from the Holy Spirit emerges. Songs are another huge way we can hear from Him because God created music to be a pathway to our soul. Movies are as well. I have had a line in a movie hit my spirit. I'll write it down and then I'll take it to the Lord later, and He pulls me in with whatever it is He wants to show me through those words I heard. I know others who do that as well. Obviously, reading the Word. And when a scripture tugs at your heart, don't just keep reading. Stop. Read it again. Ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to show you or speak to you within that scripture. Write it down on something and put it somewhere where you'll see it. Put it as the front of your phone so that you can see it and think about it again. It's meditating, right? The Psalms is full of talking about meditating on the Word of God. Take the time to linger and wait. Read it again later. Sit with it. Continue to ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to show you or to speak to you within that scripture. Read it again the next day, every day for a week if you want to, if you feel led to. And just allow it to be like a multifaceted, beautiful diamond. It isn't about how much you read. It's about how much of Him you take in as you read. I also hear from God quite often when I'm sitting in nature. Sometimes it isn't hearing anything specific, but just being with Him in His creation and noticing the details of what I'm seeing, hearing, even smelling or touching. The Holy Spirit definitely speaks through His creation, and sometimes it's just the silence of being together. God is limitless in how He can and He will speak to us to draw us into a deeper intimacy with Him instead of just having a transactional relationship. Just let Him know you don't want that anymore. You don't want to pull on Him and try to manipulate Him to do what you want Him to do for you. Tell Him what you want and then walk away. Surrender your heart and your mind to Him. Surrender to His ways, allowing your spirit to begin to receive that intimate affection He has for you, instead of just leaning into your soul of emotions, which can be deceiving and take us in a direction that we don't want to go. Let me leave you with something I heard from a totally different place. I said I was sharing from you some of these things from John Eldridge. What I heard, and it was exactly along this line of being transactional, and they said, God's love isn't transactional. It is a gift. So let's all make the decision to let go of trying to make things between us and God manipulative and transactional, and just open ourselves up to receiving that gift, especially in the middle of our pain and confusion of child loss. As I'm recording this, there are 3 rooms left for 3 more couples at the GPS Hope and Healing Retreat in New York State the first weekend in October. This is a chance to get away with a very small group of others who understand what it's like to find themselves thrown onto this unwanted journey. You can consider it a weekend getaway with your child, knowing you will get to talk about your son and daughter with others who want to hear about him or her. It's not a time of misery, but it's a time of finding a greater needed measure of healing. Yes, there are some tears, but there's also laughter and a lot of great conversation and relationships built. Now, quite often, husbands don't want to come because they don't want to get all touchy-feely with their emotions, but that's not what this is about. They come to support their wives, thinking they're going to stay in the background, but so far over the years, every husband has said they are glad they came because it was great to hang out with other dads, to talk about things that they can't talk about with their wives, to receive encouragement in how they're dealing with their grief that looks so differently than their wives, and to know better how to support each other in the different ways they're grieving. So I want to encourage you to check it out. You get to spend the weekend with myself and with Dave, and grab one of the last 3 rooms. Go to gpshope.org/retreat. Also, if you know there are several Perivers who would like to have a weekend retreat in your area, let us know. Email us at office@gpshope.org and we'll pray about God sending us your way. I'll put both the link to the retreat and our email address in the show notes. And also, don't forget to check out our new line of Periver with Hope hats and shirts. You can wear a symbol of your identity as a Periver, someone with a shattered heart, choosing to walk with both grief and hope. You can shop the collection at gpshope.org/store, and I will put a link to that in the show notes as well. Let's go on with this week's birthday segment. Nina Renee Ray was born on August 5th and left us at the young age of 2 years old. Gabriel Andrew Marino was born on August 5th and left us at age 28. Aaron McGee was born on August 7th and left us at age 34. Austin Phelps was born on August 7th and left us at age 24. Travis M. Blair was born on August 9th and left us at age 30. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of these families. We know that the birthday of our children will always be a special day and worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the needed information, including the pronunciation, if it's needed, because I want to make sure I say your child's name correctly. And just submit all of that, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week. We can and we need to allow ourselves to wait on God, to linger in His presence. That is where the deep intimacy and solid relationship happens that will get you through anything, and I mean anything, including something as devastating as the death of your child. Wait on the Lord. Look up scriptures on waiting on the Lord. Sit with Him in the silence. Talk with Him about your anger. Let go of the demands. Let Him love on you and rest in that love, whatever that looks like. I shared with you some of the things that I do, but it will be different for each of us because it's being built on an intimate relationship, and no two relationships are the same. Like Isaiah 61:3 says, He will give you a crown of beauty for the devastating ashes. He will give you the oil of joy for your mourning. And He will give you a garment of praise to replace the spirit of heaviness and despair. He wants to be in deep relationship with you. And I hope and pray that you want to make the shift that will take you into the depths of His love instead of staying in the reactional, transactional pit of your anger and pain. And as you learn to do this, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.